This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
When I first started in the council, I started there on the 3rd of the 4th, 1978. And it was a very resilient little council. There was only about a third, if not less, of the rate base that we have now. Port Douglas had 300 permanents in port, and all we had running from Mossman to Port Douglas was a 150 water main to as far as Solander, and then a 100 mil, which is 6-inch and 4-inch in the old scale, from there into Port Douglas itself. So all that has changed. We've upgraded to 450 mil water mains, the ICL.
That first job you had on the old Junction Bridge located between Mossman and Kooya Beach, yep. Do you remember that day?
I remember starting with the bridge gang on that day. Yes, we had to cart timber from the yards. It was old hickory that was delivered from the Tablelands, and it was a wooden timber bridge, and we worked on that for 6 weeks. And we redecked it, all new corbels, everything underneath it. It was all redecked, and because it was a dual bridge, and still is, we had to work with outside the crushing hours where we could. And it was an interesting job. We used to catch the odd fish there while we were working.
What'd you catch?
Oh, there were old brim and old red brim and the odd eel.
Beautiful. You must have been a natural at it because within 3 months you're transferred into the road building gang. You worked on the Mossman Daintree Road at Humbug Reach. Yes. What was that like?
Yeah, well, the council actually built that road from Reeds Creek all the way through to the township of Daintree. It was done in two stages. I can't remember exactly how long I was out there, but it was for a while. And council was actually contracted to do that job, and has done a damn good job because it's still there. And the second stage, they went from about Humbug Reach all the way through to the township. Yeah, that was south of the river. That's the main road heading in to Daintree Village. Yeah, and I worked on that for probably 3 or 4 months. From there, I was building a causeway up at Wineball, and that was about towards the 12 months that I had been there. About 10 to 12 months, and they come and ask me if I'd like to be a ganger in the water department. And
what did that mean?
Oh, you know, it was a step up for me, and that's what I was chasing. I'm a local who was looking for job security. I was just married. I was 21, I think, at the time. It would have been 22 by that time. And just married and looking for job security, and that was a step in that direction. I left here before I got married for about 9 months. My family, I left here when I was 14, and I didn't go. I said, no, I didn't want to go. I want to stay here. And I worked it's not town and country, it was Home Hardware. It was a place called Jack and Yule as a supermarket attendant. And I'd done 18 months there. And then I went to Bowen, where my family went, and I worked there as a forklift driver in a supermarket. Didn't like it, so I come back, got my old job back, and then from there I went bin hauling for a couple of years and got married, and then I knocked on the council's door every Wednesday or a Friday. It was one of those days, I just can't remember what days, at the same time until they got sick of me, and they've put me on. I've been there ever since. And once I got into that, I was a ganger there for a few years, and in about 86, 87, I can't remember the exact dates, Paul, but it was then I became the team leader of the water department, and have basically been right up till, well, not quite till now, about 18 months ago I transitioned to retirement.
So you kept climbing the ladder.
Well, fell off a few times, I think, on the way, mate. There were a few challenges. Sometimes you feel like giving up, but you don't. Seen some great changes across the board. One of the most stressful ones was the amalgamation. That was pretty hard on staff.
In what way? Just to explain.
Well, job security, and they were coming pretty tough and bumping their gums a bit. And I think they just wanted to reinvent the wheel.
You're talking about the Cairns mob?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were good to me. I can't complain in that sense. But we were worried about having to, maybe they're going to send us to Cairns to work and transition and that sort of thing, which we weren't real happy about. But it worked out that we didn't have to. And eventually they really left us alone. They knew they needed us probably more than we needed them.
Now, that was a challenge. What other challenges did you have on a daily basis? Can you remember something, maybe an event that happened, maybe a cyclone, maybe flooding?
Yeah, the 1979, we had, I'd just come across into the water department. We had the massive floods up there in 79. I think, I'm not quite sure, it was a cyclone Peter kind of propped out here for about 4 days. And we were receiving about a half a metre of rain every day. And that went on for 4 days. So we had 80 inches of rain in 4 days. And our intakes, of course, were just blocking off. So we spent a couple of colleagues of mine, and one's still working for council now, spent 4 days up at the Mossman intake and nights. We never went home. And because we couldn't get out anyway. But cleaning that intake and keeping the water flowing to the areas, and that was done day and night. And at the end of it, and everything started settling down, a convoy of council cars come up, and they were the councillors, and at that time they called the CEO the shire clerk, and the engineer the shire clerk, and all councillors turned up. They thanked us for what we did, and as we were about to drive out, the shire clerk opened the boot of the car and he presented us with all a bottle of rum each. It's something that doesn't happen nowadays, but we certainly warmed our bellies because it was hot, cold and wet up there, you know.
Was it a good drop?
It was a good drop. I haven't stopped drinking rum since, so there you go.
In those days, of course, the water was a raw supply. There was no water treatment plants, no water meters, no sewerage plants. A little bit like the Wild West.
Yeah, well, it was raw water, and how we used to manage that was a lot of flushing in the system. After floods, the creeks, of course, run pretty dirty, and the intakes have had major upgrades since those days. And we used to get a lot of sand and mud in our reservoirs. We used to flush them out every year, scour them out. And what happens, we used to gravity from the Mossman intake. It's 144 metres high to the top water level, and it gravities to our treatment plant, which is the old reservoir. There's 92 metre top water level. So you've got that radium there, that hydraulic radium, whatever they call it. And it used to just overflow. The reservoir used to come into the reservoir and it overflowed, and what was left over just went back to the creek. And that gravitated all the way out here to Port Douglas, and it done exactly the same. It overflowed and we could gravity to the top of the hill in Port Douglas. But you find that if you're doing that, you get 78 metres high there, it starts putting a bit too much pressure on the existing. It was all right while it was overflowing, but if you closed it off and the pressure built back to the Mossman intake or the reservoirs, then you were putting too much pressure on the system and it'd start breaking mains. So, yeah.
Mark, you've seen a lot of rain. You just mentioned that time with the cyclone just off the coast here. Have you noticed that we've got less rain now? We just seem to not have rain at the right time, and yet we have it sometimes out of season.
It seems that way. You used to be able to say, right, yeah, it's November, here's wet season, it's just around the corner, just about prepare yourself for whatever was to come. But now it's pretty hard to plan that. We have had some big wet seasons in between, in 96, and there's not this last one. The one before was a pretty consistent one. Everyone's talking about it. Yeah, there is seems to be less or not as we seem to get it in a little of bursts. I think it was when I was a kid, I remember you couldn't dry your clothes for 6 weeks, you know, where it used to drizzle and rain and carry on.
Mark, the work crews, some of whom you've worked with for more than 25-30 years, are the backbone of any council, wouldn't you agree?
I have to agree with that. I've I must say my crews have been absolutely excellent, and they've stayed with me for many, many years, and have a really good knowledge of the system. and we've still got two there that are being a long-term employees. And yeah, definitely the backbone and very reliable.
Christopher Skase, he arrives and changes everything. Do you think you would have remembered those times? A lot of people have awful things to say about him. Some people have nice things to say about him. How do you see Christopher Skase in the landscape of the Douglas Shire?
Oh, well, he's made it what it is in the sense that Port Douglas has turned into a, well, it's a mega tourist spot, you know. It's a lovely place. Yeah, there's fors and against, you know. You can't, I'm not anti-development or anything like that, but I'm not a greenie either. So the only thing I'd like to say, if there's anything to say about development of the Shire, is to develop by all means, but keep it sustainable. Let's do it in a way that we're not ripped here, bust, and look after this little gem that we have, because I've been all around this country and 70 in other countries around the world, and trust me, this little place here is worth holding on to. But in saying that, you can't just shut up shop either. It has to be done gently.
When Skase arrived, did you all go, oh my God, what is happening?
Yes and no. It did throw a spanner in the works, as far as we had to order thousands of water meters. Everyone was being metered. We had to get infrastructure across to Port Douglas. Reservoirs had to be built, pump stations had to be put in, and all this happened in a very short period of time. So we were kind of thrown around a bit, and we had a very small crew, but we made it. But there was contractors, of course, come in and done a lot of that that work. Yeah, I don't think it's hurt Port Douglas by him being here. It's it used to be just a little bush track going in on the main track into Port Douglas. I remember when the roads were dirt, an old port road, and where the links is was pineapple farms, you know. So that's all changed, and they're probably making more money now. Well, they wish that, well, not while the cove's on, but at this time, they've probably made more money than they ever did out of pineapples.
For sure. I love those palm trees as you come into the Mirage Resort. Yep. That is stunning and beautiful.
Yep. Yeah, they come from over the river, over Cape Tribulation, away. There was a palm farm over there, and he bought all those and transported them and transplanted them along that roadway. I was there. We had to locate all our existing infrastructure so that when they dug the holes for them, they didn't rip our mains out. We were there for the whole lot of it. And they certainly do brighten the place up. They make it what it is.
What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you? Do you remember something that you went, oh my goodness, and you didn't live it down, or it happened to someone else, or when you had a good belly laugh over something on the job?
Oh, what was that? There's been so many of them.
Has there?
Yeah. we used to do the cemeteries once, and the water department used to bury the dead as well in the early days. We've had blokes down the hole, and I knew one bloke that was digging. He was so scared of spiders. So we used to throw a spider in the hole, and in Port Douglas, he used to fill it in getting out. Yeah, so we had to do it all again. What other disasters have there been? I've had to swim across gullies up in the Daintree that are flooded to keep the water going. I've taken my own little boat up there during big rains. I've done that not this last wet season, the wet season before, when the big floods were on. Took my boat across and then walked across those gullies and swam across a few, because the Daintree backs up into a lot of those, and to keep the water flowing, I'd just get home and it was blocked again.
Crocs though, mate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you just close your eyes and hope that, you know.
Jeez, you've gone beyond the call of duty for this council, mate.
Oh, it's something you do. It's in your blood. It's in your blood, you know. It's, yeah.
Well, the Crocs must have respected you, mate. They've gone, oh, there he goes. There goes Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what other things are there? I just kind of slipped my mind, but there are quite a few, Paul. Yeah.
I like the cemetery guy.
Yeah.
Spiders.
Yeah, spiders. He was very scared of spiders. I remember one time we were up at the Kuya Beach Reservoir, and we were building a head wall around this pipe. It was all freshly stone pitched. And we had a little fishing rod and we put a spider on the end of it. And he was down there and we just lowered it down like curds. And he knocked the whole wall down, so we had to do it again. But they're the laughs, you know. They were the laughs of the day. And
because jobs really are the people you work with and the people that you take care of as part of that job.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a really good crew.
Mark, as you prepare to leave the job after 42 years, what do you, on a personal note, leave better than you found it?
I think that our water system is pretty much up there. We've got when I first started, there was no water treatment plants. There was only the raw water. So we've left it with our water system now is our plant is second to none. It is very high quality water that it produces. I think the people of Port Douglas and Mossman, the whole Shire, because there's three of these plants, have got real good top quality water. It's chlorinated, of course, but that's legislation that has to happen. I'm leaving very contented. I haven't got a bad word to say about the council. I've seen a lot of councillors come and go, that's for sure. And some, of course, are better than others. We all have our opinions.
Yeah, do you want to delve into that? No way.
No, I'm not going to go into anything political.
Of course not.
Even at this late stage.
You're probably better not to.
Yeah, yeah. Just not worth it. Yeah. But I think the Shire is progressing pretty well.
Mark Howarth, who are the people you would like to thank as you ride into the sunset of retirement?
Well, first of all, is that my work colleagues that I've worked with for many years. They've been, like you said before, the backbone. They've have worked rain, hail and shine when need be. No smokos, no dinners, and to keep the water flowing. All my colleagues that I've worked with have been fantastic. And of course, to my wonderful wife, who I think is the gem of the Coral Coast, if you'd like to say that. I'm going to be right.
A few points there, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name?
Joan.
Have you got kids?
Yes, I've got two kids. One's 40 years of age and one's 37, a boy and a girl. We have six grandkids. And the four of those are in high school. And we love them dearly. And it's time to go and kick the ball with the grandkids and enjoy what we've got remaining.
Yeah. Isn't that a good story? Well, congratulations, Mark Howarth. The Shire thanks you, the council thanks you, and happy retirement.
Thanks, Paul. Really looking forward to it.